Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Bronx, New York, this is the Brovian Talks. Follow us on Twitter at Brovian93, at Brovian93. That is Brovian93. Brovian93 on Twitter for news, information, and stuff. As we now get you set and ready, as the Mets tonight take on the Colorado Rockies in just under half an hour, the Mets are going with Seth Lugo tonight, who's had a pretty okay season for the most part. And if you're a Mets fan, if you're a New York fan, or if you're a New Yorker, you probably know by now that this season isn't going exactly the way us Mets fans have hoped it would go. There are 7 games under 500, 12 games out of first place in the National League East, 9.5 back in the National League Wild Card. Not exactly the season us Mets fans have hopes for. But even though people in the media feel that this season is over and is gone, this guy feels completely different. We'll fully concede the season on July 31st. That is when I'll concede. I go, okay, whatever. This team has no chance whatsoever. But until then, I believe this team has a shot. We've seen it way too many times. We saw it in 2015. In 2016, last year, they were under 500 in September and still got the wild card spot. And you might be saying, gee, Brovian, this is 2017. The Rocks and Diamondbacks look pretty good. Every other contender for the wild card looks like crap. And you have a point. You really do. But here's the thing. The two wild card teams are West Coast teams, and the Rockies and the Diamondbacks. And by definition, West Coast teams typically don't do as well as the season drags on. That is evidence A in the Mets comeback. Evidence B is, of course, the previous 2 years where they came back and made the postseason. And in one case, they made it to the World Series. Also, evidence C, in my mind, the most important piece of evidence why this season isn't over yet is because right now they're in a series against one or two wildcard teams. They're playing the Rockies. And in this series, they have two of the best pitchers, and Matt and DeGrom pitching in the series. DeGrom pitched amazing yesterday. And hopefully, Steven Matz will pitch amazing tomorrow. And for the next 2 weeks, up until August, the Mets have the Rockies for two more games. They have the Cardinals, who are above them in the wild card chase, for 4 games. You have Oakland, who's 10 games under 500. And you have San Diego, who sucks. And then you get 3 with Seattle, who's pretty much what the Mets are right now. So if they could take control of the next 2.5 weeks, this team still has hope. Maybe they win 2 or 3 from the Rockies. Maybe they win 3 or 4 from the Cardinals. And if they beat Oakland 2 out of 3, and they beat San Diego 3 out of 4, or win all 4 games, guess what? This team is really close to 500 baseball. this team is right back in this wild card chase. These next 2.5 weeks is crucial for the Mets. It's crucial. Because if they bomb here, then I agree with you. It's over. Sayonara. Thank you. Come again. But until that moment happens, until they get swept by the Rockies, which they won't do, until they get beaten down by the Cardinals, which hopefully won't happen, there is still hope. Whatever it happened to, you've got to believe. I believe the team has a chance to fight in the wild card. I believe this manager can pull it out. I don't understand why everyone is waving the white flag. The Mets season isn't over yet. There's still hope. Now, it's not a lot of hope, but it's a glimmer of hope. The season isn't over yet. It just isn't. You have two of the best pitchers in baseball. You have an offense right now that if they get hot, boy, watch out. You have a manager who knows this team anyone else. Who knows when it comes down to it, this team can and will do it. The only question for this Mets team right now is their bullpen. Can this bullpen help lift the team up, or will this bullpen drag it down? Because this Mets bullpen isn't that great. In fact, it's god-awful. And guess what? Yesterday, the Mets won 4-2 against a team they're chasing. I completely understand. It's a long shot, but it's still a shot nonetheless. Look at the Rockies, like 10 years ago. They were out of it. People, you know, wrote them off, and look what happened. They made it to the World Series against the Red Sox. They lost the World Series, but they got there. This team, I believe, at least, is too talented to just die. Now, believe me, if the Rockies win the next two games and the Mets lose 3 out of 4 to the Cardinals, then I'm with you, people. It's over. But I get it, the media, you know, are all doom and gloom for ratings, for eyeballs. I get it, you know, it's what the media does. They, you know, overdo things on a positive side and on a negative side. You know, the media isn't very sensible, nor should they, because that's their purpose, is to, you know, draw your eyes to them. And it works. I mean, it does. I'm not going to lie, you know. These people are good at what they do. So, the Mets at the Rockies tonight. And also, one more thing. I mean, is it a bit early to write the obituary for Terry Collins? Because I'm seeing the article saying who should replace Collins for next season. Well, why don't we wait until September or late August or October? This season is still in full gear. We have like 70 games left to play. There's going to be talk, is the Mets going to make the postseason? Is the Mets fall below 500? Or if Terry Collins just decides to go, plenty of weeks in months to determine who will be the next Mets manager. As of right now, let's just let this team play. Terry Collins earned that right to manage this team without all this nonsense, without all this talk. Just let this team play. Just let this manager manage, please. Not a big deal. And no, David Wright will not be the next manager of the Mets. That would be completely stupid. Because number one, David Wright isn't retired. Number two, he's too young. Number three, he belongs in the broadcast booth more than anything because he has a great personality and he loves this game and he loves this franchise. And if I was David Wright right now, I wouldn't take it. You know, why would David Wright, who's fighting as hard as anybody, as hard as, I don't know, but he's fighting really hard, why would he just say, okay, I'm done, become a manager? Why would he do that? It makes no sense. Come on, people. But again, it gets people talking, and whatever, fine. And also, why, you know, I've been noticing this for the past couple of years, at least with the Mets, because the Mets are my team. But why in the world do we have so many Saturday night games? I mean, when I was a kid, you know, unless you were on Fox, you play in the daytime. Or a Saturday night game would be once in a while. At least for me, it feels like the Mets have a Saturday night game every single week. I mean, they have a Saturday night game tonight. They have a Saturday night game next week against Oakland. Seattle, they play at 4 o'clock. They have a Saturday night game against the Phillies, the Marlins, the Nationals. I mean, what is with all these night games? I don't get it. You know, do they have stats that prove that more people go to Saturday night games than Saturday afternoon games? I don't know. Maybe that's the reason behind it. Maybe more people attend to watch Saturday night baseball than Saturday morning afternoon baseball. I don't know, but it does bother me because, you know, it's the weekend. Sunday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, you watch baseball. Saturday night, you go out to party and do whatever people do. I don't know. And that really does bother me a little bit. I know it's a moot point, but I digress. So, just came out of Disney, this news just came out of the Disney, what is it called? The Disney 23 Expo. They're finally making an Aladdin live-action movie. It's about damn time. They made a Jungle Book live-action movie, Maleficent, Beauty and the Beast. What else did they do live-action with? Because they only did one more. But come on, they did a Jungle Book movie before. They did an Aladdin movie. Aladdin is one of the greatest Disney movies of all time. It's definitely top 10. It's not top 5. And to be honest with you, I saw Maleficent. I hated that movie. It was awful. Angelina Jolie did a good job in it, but the whole movie, you know, it was bad. They completely destroyed her character, but I move on. Beauty and the Beast, you know, I love the cartoon movie. The cartoon movie in my mind is perfect in every way. So I didn't really care to watch it. And the Jungle Book, I mean, you know, the 60s movie is pretty good, but, you know, why do I pay $13 to see the Jungle Book? You know, it wasn't for me, but I love Aladdin. I will definitely watch this movie to see how it is. And you know what? If I like this movie, I'll pick up, you know, the DVDs for Beauty and the Beast and the Jungle Book. So it came out today that Will Smith, yes, the Will Smith, is playing the role as the genie. And I can tell you, I really like this pick a lot. You know, obviously, he'll go at it differently than the great Robin Williams, who pretty much perfected the role. And Will Smith, you know, he has the personality to do a genie character. You know, and I would love to see how he interprets his character, because the genie is the core of this movie. He really is. He steals the movie away from Aladdin and Jasmine and Jafar. So I really like this pick a lot. I think besides Robin Williams, Will Smith is the ideal pick for this role. Because, you know, Will Smith has a personality. He has a childlike innocence to him at times. And he's also a good actor. Let's give the guy some credit here. And they also revealed the actress to play Aladdin and Jasmine. And I've never heard of these people before in my life, but apparently they've been in things. Naomi Scott is announced to be Jasmine, and she was in a Power Rangers movie. And Mena Massoud, is how I believe you pronounce it, it will be Aladdin. And according to this article, he has appeared in Jack Ryan and the Teen Nick series Open Heart. And, you know, from the pictures they show, I mean, they're two good-looking people. Very good-looking people. And they will be fit the role pretty well. So, you know, they have the looks for the role. They have the right age for the role. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm going to watch the Power Rangers movie now just to see how she is. I'm going to find some clips of the other guy because, you know, it says he's been in Jack Ryan and Open Heart, but not starred in, which, you know, could mean that he didn't have a big role in either production. So we'll see what happens. And again, you know, I hope they do a good job with the movie. I love Aladdin. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And we'll see what happens. You know, knock on wood, it's a good movie. But Will Smith is a great pick. I'm happy with that pick. I really am, actually. You know, usually I can be, you know, seen as an anti-new, you know, person. But I really, you know, looking at these two actors, seeing Will Smith as a genie, I really do feel confident going into this movie. So we'll see what happens. Tomorrow now, we will find out who the new Doctor Who will be. And again, you know, I mentioned it last time, and you know, a lot of people are really pushing for a female Doctor Who. And my feeling about it is, you know, just let it happen. If it's a female, great. If it's not, great. You know, as long as the actor can do a good job with the role, I'll be happy with it. You know, and with the last generation, I was really pushing for Jenna Coleman to be the new Doctor because she has all the characteristics the Doctor should have. She talks like a Doctor, acts like a Doctor, and she's familiar with the pieces, with the role, with the show. And I was really hoping that, you know, the Doctor, you know, could morph with her or whatever have you, so she could be the next Doctor Who. But, you know, that wasn't the case. So if we do have a female Doctor, I hope it's somebody like that. But the odds are it probably will be another man. And there's nothing wrong with that. There really isn't, believe it or not. So calm down, people. If it's a man, don't go crazy. If it's another old man, don't lose your mind. I mean, Peter Capaldi here has really gotten a raw deal from a pretty sizable chunk of the fan base. I mean, a lot of these newer fans are not used to, and they're still not used to an older Doctor. In fact, you know, you could make a case that these people are ageists. Because just because he's old, all the show sucks now. Oh, my God, we have an old Doctor. He's not as good-looking as the Lieutenant. He's not as young as Matt Smith. This is an old fart. Get him out of here, blah, 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 blah. I mean, there are people still like that. There are people who feel that Peter Capaldi is too old to be Doctor Who. And I'm like, what? The Doctor's over 2,000 years old. Doctor Who has always been old. He's always been at least over 40. Only twice in Doctor Who history he wasn't. With Matt Smith and with, what's his name? Peter Davison. And maybe one, he was Tom Baker. When Tom Baker first got the role, I think he was 39 or just on 40. So, you know, we've seen it both ways. People aren't happy because he's not a female. People aren't happy because he's not a young hot stud. I mean, we've seen it all. And, you know, the doctor is not, nobody's failed at the role completely. Colin Baker, is probably seen as the worst doctor. I think he did the role the worst, but he's the best, but he's the worst of the best. Because they've all done a good job, that he, out of all of them, he just didn't do a good job as the other guys did, So he's the worst of the best. Still did a good job at it, so we'll see. But I don't understand. Why is there such a push for a female doctor? Same thing with the James Bond. What's the rush of having a female James Bond? I mean, come on, just create your own female spy saga. Just create your own female-led sci-fi saga. Look at Resident Evil. They're a female lead. Alien, a female lead. I really don't get it. I mean, there obviously will be a female doctor somewhere along the line. It's going to happen sooner or later. And just let it happen. When the right actress comes, she will be the next doctor. Now, let's watch. Tomorrow, when we come back and we will know who the new doctor will be, just watch. If it's a female, oh boy, the internet will go crazy. I won't care. I'll be like, let's see what she can do. And for the guy, same thing. I won't care. Let's see what he could do. And, God bless them. Good for them. So that is tomorrow. I believe it's tomorrow afternoon here in America. So we'll do our show pretty much right after the new doctor is announced. Probably during the Met game. So we can watch the Met game and talk about Doctor Who at the same time. And, this past season of Doctor Who was pretty good. And I always wondered, before this whole Missy Master thing, what would have happened if we got a female Time Lord who wasn't the Doctor or the Master? Oh, that's right. We already had one. It's called Irani. And from what we've seen so far, she's completely gone, and we will probably never see her again. I'm sorry, I forgot about that. We did have a female Time Lord who was just as smart as the Doctor, if not smarter, evil, and who pretty much, at times, outsmarted the Doctor. But, whatever. Give those casual fans, or give those new Whovians, just throw them dead meat out there and they'll bite it off and they'll be happy. So we'll see. And Michelle Gomez did a good job at the Master. She did. She was a good Master. I wish she stayed longer to see, for her to get some pretty good episodes instead of the okay ones she was dealt with. But I digress. And we close the show out with, a little bit of a downer, I guess. And that is the war we have seeing within America between the media and the White House. Every time you think the White House is winning, they show you once again how incompetent they are. I mean, both sides are dead wrong. Both sides can't stand each other. And this media will do whatever it takes to delegitimize this president. I mean, you've seen the CNN tapes. You've heard the audio. There's not much to talk about. Unless you watch Fox News or One America News, you're being fed anti-Trump propaganda. And if you're a Trump loyalist, you're being fed pro-Trump propaganda. And, it's a shame. It really is that in America, you have the media who completely can't stand a man and a president who really can't stand them. And, the only people who suffer are the typical normal people who go to work, pay the bills, and just want to live their lives. they're the real ones who suffer. Trump won't suffer. The media won't suffer. I mean, you know, and probably nobody from this administration will suffer, because if they do get fired or resign, they'll go someplace else. So it's no big deal to them. It's all really a bunch of hoopla, to be honest with you. And, you know, it's whatever. It's just going to be interesting to see, you know, when this war does end in 4 or 8 years, who'll win. Obviously, if Trump loses re-election, the media would have won. And if Trump serves 8 years and has a decent approval rating, probably won in the mid-40s, Trump would have won. I mean, you know, the media and, you know, conservatives have been going at it for decades. It really started under Obama, when the media completely fell in love with the guy. And it really ratcheted up with Trump. Because they can't, I mean, you know, if you're telling me the media is covering Donald Trump objectively, then you're either smoking something or there's something wrong with you. And if you think this president is acting presidential and acting with class, same thing's wrong with you, too. But whatever, we'll find out soon. I'm going to go get ready to watch the Met game, and you should, too. It starts in about 4 minutes on PIX, I believe, Channel 11. So that's it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow with the new Doctor Who. Good night, everybody.